So we're going to talk about some impactful things, but before we do, I want to ask you, have you ever played baseball or softball? Go ahead. So if you have baseball or softball, hand up. Cool. If you don't want to talk about baseball or softball, keep your hand up. Okay, good. Here we go. I'm going to talk about that for a second. There's a movie that lots and lots of people love, and it's called Sandlot. And so now a lot of things are going through your mind about Sandlot, but here's this guy, Benny, and he is absolutely amazing at baseball. And there's a kid, Smalls, who's not so amazing. Oh, gosh, can I just hold him? Thank you.
He's poopy, by the way.
He's poopy? Good.
Hi.
Look. This is Xander. I'm a mandated reporter. His parents are starving him, so I have to report that. I'm sorry. Gosh. Oh, my goodness, baby. Okay. All right. Sorry. Is that a little scary? Gosh, I could look at your face all day long. Oh, my goodness. You take care and get that diaper changed. All right. Woo. He is ripe. You know what my brother says when he smells that? You smell like you want to be alone. Okay. Okay. Derailed. All right. So Smalls is really, really book smart and really, really not good at baseball. And so he joins this group of kids and he's just bad, really, really bad. And Benny finally runs out to the outfield where he's at. And he says to him, "Hey, I bet you get straight A's and stuff, right?" And he goes, "Well, yeah, I mean, I got an A minus, but then they fix it. And so, yeah, I mean, yeah." And he goes, "Look, here's what I want you to do. You don't have to do anything amazing. I'm giving you this glove. You put your hand in it, and you stand here and put your glove up like this. I'll take care of the rest." And he says, "And man, get rid of that hat." He's got this duck hunting hat that's got this huge bill on it, and he gives him a hat, and he'd already given him a glove. But then Benny runs back, to the plate, spits on the ball, because that's good luck, right? And then he hits it. And you know what? It goes right into Small's glove. And he catches it. And everyone's like, "The kid can play. He's all right. I knew he would," and all this. And they were already making fun of him, right? Here's what I want to ask you to take away from that. Not that baseball is great, although I love it. It's my favorite sport. Benny represents Jesus in that story. We represent Smalls. We really can't get it done. On our own, it's not going to work. But Jesus has said, "You're not on your own. I believe in you." He's the cool kid who looks at these dweebs and goes, "You're mine. I love you. I want you. I'm going to make things happen for you and through you, by the way." He's the best coach ever. He's not the coach that shames you into trying to get better. He's the coach that says, "I believe in you. You can do this. Get out there and do it." Well, what if I make a mistake? Don't worry. You're going to learn how to do it. Here's what I understand about life. Yeah, coaching and sports and all that, but more than that, much broader than that, life, we get to try. Then we get to fail. Then we get to be successful. You know, the whole Thomas Edison, right? 1,000 different tries before he made the light bulb work. And he said, "No, there's just 999 ways not to do that." And that's really not accurate. He said he kept learning how to make it, not how not to make it, how to make it. And it was from failure. If we again go back to baseball, the best hitter ever hit .401 as a lifetime batting average. That's the best. If you don't know what that means 6 out of 10 times he got out. 4 out of 10 times he got a hit. That's like Hall of Fame craziness. life is also like that. It's failure, and we're afraid of failure, and we're afraid of what we're going to lose, and we're afraid of being made fun of, and we're afraid. Like, look, I love it. Amy handed little Xander to me and says, he's poopy. A, okay, we all do, right? And B, there's nothing to worry about. If you can't hand a poopy kid to a dad of 11, there's an issue. And so we've got this reality that all of us need power. All of us need strength. All of us need help. And Jesus is like, I got you. I want that for you. He knows that we're limited. He made us. And he's there for us. So today, next Sunday, and then the following Sunday, for 3 weeks, we're going to look about how Jesus is empowering. And so let's look at that word empower really quick. What does empower mean? What do you understand empower to mean? Let me go ahead and get the one out of the way, right? To give power, okay? So good. We count that, to give power. And as I just told that story, and as there's a number of other things, Jesus is the one that gives power. But what else? What does empower mean to you? When somebody empowers you, what does that mean? Provides. Good. What's that? Permission. Oh my goodness, Ellie, that's great. Gives permission.
Improves your self-esteem.
Okay, improves your self-esteem.
Gives you the freedom to do it.
Gives you the freedom to do it.
Helps you know you can.
Right? Even when you can't? That's good. Did somebody, can you say that again for the people? You're saying God trusts us? Huh. I like that. It's true. He doesn't entrust himself to the opinions of man, but he trusts us with life. That's good. Look at me. That's good. Sorry. Tough guy. Should just stand here like this. How's it going? All right. What else? I'm not tired and I'm not like on caffeine or anything. I'm feeling pretty good about today because of who he is. I mean it, because I have no business, absolutely no business on the normal way that a pastor becomes a pastor. I have no business being up here. But it isn't about my business. It's about Jesus's. He's my power. He's my strength. He's commissioned me. He's commissioned us. He calls everybody to be saved. Casey said it well. If you're not saved, don't pretend. You may not think you need to be. We all do fall short, and we all do need help. But Jesus doesn't just focus on how messed up we are. Look, I'm going to get going, but I want to ask you to consider a few things. And so I've got 5 words for you here, and I'm going to end with these as well. I want you to remember, okay? Remember a lot of what Casey talked about, but I want you to remember what you hear today. Then I want you to labor. I want you to work on it. I want you to work it out. I want you to get into it, okay? And that actually has to happen beyond this room. It has to. And I want you to pray. I want you to pray to God. I want you to connect with him. I want you to hear from him. I want you to pray to him. And you're going to hear some things to pray about today. And so I'll ask you to look for those. There's a couple of different things that Jesus talks about that he calls us to pray. And then the last two, I want you to understand. I want you to understand some things. I want you to understand who you are and who you're not. I want you mostly to understand whose you are. And it's not just what I want for you, although I do want these things for you. God wants us to remember who he is. He wants us to pray to him, right? He wants us to labor and work through things, not for salvation, but from salvation. This is good news. He wants us to understand that he's God and we're not, and that's a good thing. And finally, I want you, and I know he wants us, to rejoice. Celebrate and remember. Look, I have a few verses, and I wanted your help with them today. So they're going to be up on the screen. I'm going to read the first one, but then I want somebody else to read the next two passages. So the first passage we're going to look at is Psalms 18, 1 through 3. The next one, and write this down if you're a note taker, Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. And then 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. So Isaiah 4, 29 through 31, 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. Here's the help that I need from you. I'm going to read the Psalms one, and then somebody else, two other people are going to read Isaiah and 2 Corinthians. So we're going to go to Psalm 18. This has been one of those life-changing, inspirational passages. You just kind of hear it literally over and over again, and it just starts to sink. So I love this little introduction, if you will, to it. Psalm 18:1. Maybe before I get to that, here's the introduction. To the choir master, a psalm of David, servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of this song to the Lord on the day when the Lord rescued him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. This is like realizing he had been rescued. And he said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold. I call upon the Lord who's worthy to be praised, and I'm saved from my enemies. Be encouraged. There's strongholds, addictions, painful things in this world, but Jesus being your stronghold shatters all that. Who's got Isaiah for me? Who's going to stand up and read that out loud in the assembly?
Even youth shall faint and weary, and young men shall fall without fear. But they who wait for the Lord shall be refreshed. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Hallelujah. Thanks, Michelle. Who's got 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10 for us? Just stand where you're at and blurt it out. Church, let's believe that. Let me finish with Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. You stand there with your glove held up, and I'm going to take care of the rest. You're included. You're part of it. You got to put your hand in the glove. You got to do what he says, but he does the work. Be strong in his strength. So catch that. Remember that. Pray about that. Let's go to Luke 10. We're going to read through to verse 20, but I'm going to cut it up a little bit and read through it and talk about a few things. We do have a wonderful night ahead of us, some of us, and we're thinking about that. But can you just be in this moment with me and not worry about what's next? Be encouraged for what you have and be encouraged for what God is doing. Luke 10, we'll go 1 and 2. Now, Jesus talked about the cost of following him, right? And this was last week we talked about this, that he says to people that wanted to follow him, yeah, look, you're going to have to do some tough stuff. You're going to have to not look back at where you came from. You're going to have to look ahead. You can't put your family ahead of me, Jesus says. You got to be willing to not have all the comfort that this world provides and let me be enough for you. He knows our hearts and he says different things to different people, but the reality is it's his kingdom come and his will be done. And so after this, the Lord appointed 72 others. He already sent out 12. Well, he's got 72 more, right? And he sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. He sent out 72 others, two by two. This is really something for you to think about. He sends him out not where he was not going to go, but where he was about to go. And he sends two, and I love it. There's a lot to that, and some of you can geek out with me a bit in the Bible and go to the Old Testament and say that there has to be at least two for something to actually have a good witness and to be believed. Well, he says, all right, I'm sending out two by two. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Some people really do believe that Jesus was sending these 72 out into Gentile territory. I don't know that we can totally find that, but we do know that Jesus is for everybody. And there's a likelihood that they would come across people that didn't know him. But he says, look, the harvest is plentiful. And he says, I'm sending you out as laborers. So I wanted to remind you, we're laborers, not spectators. You probably heard the old saying, right, about football. Some love sports, some don't, but like the Seahawks are worshipped in so many ways. And the saying goes like this, a football game is a lot like life in Christ. You've got 22 men desperately in need of rest, and you have 65,000 people desperately in need of exercise. And we've got it mixed like that. We love to watch people do. Jesus isn't calling people to watch people to do. Should you learn from people? Yes. Should you pray for people? Yes. That's actually action. But we should do. He's including us. He's like, you're in the game, man. Go out. And when you go out, you're going to see that it's a bumper crop. And so pray for other people to be a part of the bumper crop with you. Don't just be the 22 who are exhausted. Talk to the 65,000 who need to stop spectating. Tell your story. Tell the story of God. Tell the story of what he is doing and what he continues to do. My friend said it like this, and it was really exciting because I had never heard it before. But like a U.S. embassy, okay, has people that work in the embassy. They do a lot of clerical stuff. They do a lot of things in the embassy. They're embassy workers. But the ambassador goes out from the embassy. The ambassador is the representative of the government or the kingdom. He says, in Jesus Christ, we are ambassadors, not embassy workers. We're actually called to go. Jesus just commissions, empowers them. Look, I'm sending you out. And look, what we're about to read is, this is a little bit challenging how he sends us out and how he sent them out. Verse 3, go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Thanks, Jesus. He's like, I know where you're going. I know what this is like. Go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. You might remember this from earlier in the book of Luke. He sends them out, not in their provision, but in his provision. And greet no one on the road. That's weird because culturally they would do it, but they would stop and just talk and chat for a long time. He's like, you're on your way. Get into the towns. This is not always how it's supposed to be, that you would stop and not talk to anybody and just whoop, go. But he's saying in this, I've got something for you, and I've got it very earnestly. Remember, right? Pray earnestly, he even says. So don't take anything with you. Don't stop and greet people on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. This is the shalom greeting, right? May the kingdom of God, the oneness of God, be upon you. And if a son of peace, a person of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. Look, there's a lot I want to be able to unpack on this. And I'm really only going to be able to say this. If we're praying for people of peace, we're going to see people of peace. if you're looking for people to not just harvest like, look, you're my neighbor, you're a work project for me. No, look at people as important and valuable. But the harvest is plentiful. There's everybody needs Jesus, and some people know it. Some find themselves thinking about it. So I want to ask you to look for people of peace. Pray for that. Maybe it's like this. They say to you, gosh, I don't know. Jack, you kind of are this Jesus freak guy. I've been thinking about Jesus lately. Don't be in a like, oh, really? That's weird. Have a good day. No, look for it. Have conversations with people. Tell them what you've been doing. Tell them how the Lord's been working in you. Tell them how desperately you need God. They probably already know it. But be real and look. You've already been praying for workers, and here's the beauty. God's like, you're already a laborer. Pray for more. But some of you need to pray for the cojones to say, I am a laborer. I get to do this. And so look for people of peace. Look for a person of peace. Look for somebody who's been saying, I just find myself thinking about God lately. Let me give you a quick example. I had a relative of mine say, hey, Aaron. I'm like, yeah. This, you know what I mean, right? When you get the, hey, Aaron, it's like got a hook to it. I said, yeah. And he goes, what's with these bumper stickers all of a sudden? My boss is a Jewish carpenter. And I said, well, bro, it's not all of a sudden. They've been around for a long time. And he goes, well, I guess I'm just seeing them more lately. And I go, well, you know, it's Jesus, right? And he goes, yeah. But he goes, what is that about? Why are they saying that? It's like, because they're saying their Lord is Jesus and they want people to talk about it, like you and I are talking about it. I said, hey, do you think maybe you're seeing it more? Because it's like the blue car syndrome that you're maybe looking to buy? And he goes, what do you mean? I said, is it possible, man, that you want to know more about this boss, Jesus? And he goes, yeah, no. I said, are you sure? He goes, maybe a little bit. And so we talked. And at this moment, he hasn't given his life to Christ. After that conversation, I went out with him for lunch, and I was so nervous. And I start crying because I just want him to know Jesus. He's precious to me. And he's even more precious to the Lord. And I found myself just longing to talk to him. And so I just said, you know, there's knowing about Jesus, but then there's knowing Jesus. Are you at that spot? Do you want him to lead your life? And I hearkened back to a couple of years before that about the bumper sticker. I said, do you want him to be your boss? And he goes, I think I'm a pretty good guy. I don't want to be a hypocrite like my neighbors. I think I'll be all right. I'm like, bro, if we need a boss, then we're not all right. And to this day, he still hasn't submitted or surrendered his life to Christ. And a lot has happened. But there's been so many people in my life that do. I'm looking for that. I'm praying for that. And it's not because I'm gifted with the gift of evangelism only. It's because the Holy Spirit lives in me. Let's go back to the baseball thing for a second. A glove doesn't really count for much. It just sits there. But you put a hand in it, and now it starts to do some stuff. Jesus is the hand, and you're the glove. Good news. He wants to use you, utilize you, let you be a part. Would you be praying for people of peace? Let's move on. Luke 10, 7 through 16. I don't know if you know this, but an ambassador, being a representative of the kingdom, if you're in a different country, you're not always wanted in that country. Does that make sense? Sometimes ambassadors, especially from America in another country, get asked to leave. When I was a kid, there was so many things that happened. But in Iran, the ambassador and the embassy workers and all that barely escaped with their lives. This happens often, and it could be happening again. But there's a spiritual parallel to this. So Jesus says, look, if a son of peace or a person of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. If not, it'll return to you. You'll know real quickly if you give them the shalom message and they're like, beat it. Okay. Now, remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Let them give you. Now look, I think there's a really cool teaching here, and I won't unpack it a bunch, but if they were being sent into a Gentile region, and they were being told to eat what was offered to them, Jesus could have been telling them to do something they have never, ever done. And this could be a precursor, because he does later on, he tells Peter, look, just eat what's in front of you. It's all good. Even pig. And eventually he liked himself a ham sandwich. And then pretended like he didn't when he was around Jews. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what's set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Hoo-wee. But whenever you enter a town and they don't receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to your feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Something really cool, and I want you to chew on this for a second. The kingdom of God came near to all of them. Some of them wanted it and were excited about it, needed to hear more about it, and some of them didn't. You're a representative. There's a great parallel to this, and I'll finish the passage. But if you're into reading and going deeper, go to John 14 and 15. Casey commented on John 15. Gosh, in John 15, 18 through 25, Jesus basically says, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. Look, there's Christian rappers and people, some of you love it and some of you don't. If you don't, you just need to get saved and everything will be great. Just playing, sort of. I am playing. But this guy, the ambassador, rap name, pretty sweet, right? He says, no matter your strategy, you better read. If they hate the Savior, they also hate his pedigree. We're his bloodline as Christians. Some people are going to dig that and want that. Even before, when they hated it, they're going to find themselves being people of peace, and they can't help it. And you should be praying for them and praying for your eyes to be open. But there are people like, hey, keep your Jesus stuff to yourself. That doesn't work for everybody. It's a bunch of superstition, a bunch of phooey. It works for you, Mom. I'm really proud of you. I've got it figured out. Thanks. Listen, Jesus has something to say about people who don't accept him or his message. And take even the dust, knock it off your shoes of their land. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Look up Sodom, dirty, nasty, and got destroyed. And he's saying it'll be better for people to have lived in Sodom than to have heard the good news of the kingdom of God and ignore it. He goes on to say it in even deeper ways. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it'll be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me actually rejects him who sent me. There were people thinking they were doing the work of Yahweh by rejecting this message of the kingdom of God from the Son of God. Jesus is saying, I want you to be a part of it. And not everyone wants Jesus or to be a part of it. But you and I get to share. You and I get to be a part of it. Look, friends, I don't know if you caught this earlier, but he knows we're going to make mistakes. And he actually knows that some people are going to ignore us. These people dig you. These people don't. Don't waste all of your time over here. Don't write them off. But look, focus in on the people that want to hear the news. And pray for the people that don't. Don't hate them. Look, I'm a little bit ticked off at SRV Construction. I mean, we asked. We even have somebody who actually rents a house to one of their, like, big boys. Oh, sorry, they were supposed to move those. You know what I found myself having to do this morning? Pray for SRV. If they don't know Jesus, that they would. I couldn't be mad at them anymore. I mean, I'm kind of stoked that we're a little bit crowded this first service. But can you imagine us leaving and probably a larger crowd ultimately coming in? And where are they going to park? Gosh, last week somebody's car got hit in this parking lot. And I don't know if they even left a note. Maybe they didn't get to that part in the Bible yet. We'll pray for them too. But what I really want to ask you to consider in all of this is to understand. Not everybody wants Jesus. But if you do, make him known. Live it out. Well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Come on. People can go to hell. That's pretty hurt feelings for eternity. Don't try to offend people, but don't leave Jesus out. Back to the ambassador from the cross movement, the one that I just read from, right? If they hate your Savior, they're going to hate his pedigree. He says, reach all the people with the good news, but be careful how you word it. You don't want to change the verdict. We've got to let people know that there is a way, truth, and life, and he's not just he's the. His name is Jesus. Don't be ashamed. Maybe everybody doesn't want him. But you and I, we do. So make him known. Penn and Teller, I can't remember who's the one that talks. He's Penn. Does anyone know the big dude is Penn? He's a renowned atheist. He said he has lots and lots of friends that are Christians. And some have talked to him about Jesus and some haven't. Some are afraid to be talked down to. Some are afraid to lose an argument. And he said, look, I don't believe in any of that. But if you do, and you believe there's a Savior, what kind of an a-hole do you think I am that you wouldn't tell me about salvation? This is a guy that doesn't even believe in it. And he gets it. He gets that there's a Savior to us, so we should probably talk about him. Oh my goodness. This is real life. Remember, Jesus talked about discipline, and we just read Hebrews. It says God disciplines those that he loves. If you choose not to talk to people about Jesus, do you love them? This is convicting to me. This isn't a, come on, church. This is a wake-up call for us. Let's finish. We'll go to 10, 17 through 20 here. So remember, he sends them out, right? And gives them these marching orders. Tells them, look, some people aren't going to like you. Just walk and go to those who do. This is urgent. I'm getting ready to go die. He'd already told them twice by this time, and they still didn't get it. I'll say this. If he says the laborers are few, we should probably pay attention to that. If you know you're supposed to, and you've been living for Jesus, but you've been keeping him to yourself, the day is upon us that you don't keep that news to yourself anymore. Repent of hanging on to the good news and speak the truth in love. So Jesus sends them out. And the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. This is one of my favorite passages, and it just, they're like, oh, look, the demons. And he's like, I saw Satan fall like lightning. He's talking about the supremacy of Christ. He's talking about the sovereignty of God. He's saying, look, I know it all. I've seen it. I've seen him fall. He is not all that there is. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. We get hurt, we get messed with, but he's saying nothing shall hurt you. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God. Romans 8, Matthew 10, John 10, we get reminded over and over again that we're in the hand of God if we're in Christ Jesus, and nothing can take us out. That ought to give you some boldness. That ought to give you encouragement. That ought to give you some, like, fear-fighting power to get to it. He's like, look, I've given you all that authority, and it's cool, and they're rejoicing. And he's like, yeah, man, and I saw Satan fall. Like, I was there when he got kicked out of heaven. I know how this thing ends. But, man, he does not finish with that. As a matter of fact, he says, nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. Oh, we cast out demons. Oh, they run and hide when I show up. He's like, that's cool, but don't rejoice in that. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Church, he keeps bringing it back to the truth. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice that you are loved by God. Rejoice that salvation has come to you and you will not be lost. Well, I made some really stupid mistakes. One of your elders just admitted everything that you already knew about him and about yourself. You made a lot more mistakes after the age of 7. Get to know him, get to know other leaders, get to know people that you respect, that you honor, and you're going to hear that they need Jesus, and they know it. And anytime I pretend like I don't know that, come at me. Come on, seriously, just like, what? But I asked you, so I wrote down some notes so I would not mess with you. Remember. Remember who the power comes from. I said to labor. Work at it. Work it out. Paul doesn't say work for your salvation. He says work your salvation out. You've been saved, now live it out. Work it out. Don't keep it to yourself. Remember, you're a laborer, not a spectator. And pray. What are the two things that you, at least two things that you heard today that we need to be praying about? What is it? Thank you. Amen. Pray for Barbara Traxler. Absolutely. Pray for the laborers, right? Who are we talking to on that? We need to be that, right? So we need to pray for ourselves, but we're talking to the Lord of the harvest. Gosh, prayer is rad. You get to talk to God. Why wouldn't you? Who is the one entity in all of the galaxies that wouldn't want you to talk to God? The one who got booted, who Jesus saw fall like lightning. So we pray for laborers. What else are we praying for? Yes, the lost souls, the people who are lost and needing to be loved on and brought to him. He says, pray for the people of peace. And pray that our eyes are open, like my friend's eyes were open to the bumper stickers. Like, oh, those are everywhere. They've been there a long time. There's people around you right now, that are people of peace. And you may not have been able to be interrupted. I'm not saying, oh, shame on you. They're going to hell and it's your fault. Well, there's a lot of people around him, but you, God is inviting us to be a part of what he's doing. So pray for those things. And then understand. Understand that some people don't want Jesus or you. It's not okay, but you need to understand it. How many in here are saved and people thought no way would he or she ever get saved? Me too. Right here. No way. So remember that God is good and loves those people, but they may not want you. And so understand that. And finally, rejoice. What are we to rejoice about, you guys? Name's written in heaven. This isn't like, well, I'm going to heaven. You smell like hell smoke. Not at all. But remember, labor, pray, understand, and rejoice. You cannot lose in Jesus Christ. Your name is written in heaven. As a matter of fact, would you stand with me? And we're going to end on Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. This is what I want to encourage you with. This is what I want to ask you to do as we're heading into summer. And some of you are heading out. And you know what? Let me say this to you. I understand that summer is a time where people go on vacation. Sometimes they go on vacation from their faith and from God. And sometimes people on vacation are going to start looking for another church. Let me free you up. I love you, but you're not mine to hang on to. If you're going to look for another church, go to a place that's going to preach Jesus, encourage you, help you. Not just has better preaching, better music, better ministries, whatever. Don't go shopping unless God is calling you to. But if he is calling you to and you find another church, come back, give me a hug, tell me thanks, say you should change this, you should change that or whatever. But don't just leave. We're family. You're allowed to go. But remember, your name's written in heaven. That's the big deal. I'll remember that because, look, people have left and some people have come. But this summer, don't leave Jesus out. Please. I would beg you to take this stuff serious and practice it now while you can. All right. Here we go. Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. Can a woman forget her nursing child? I mean, I don't want to like spell this out, but a child nursing. Can a woman forget that child that's nursing? Wah, wah, and connected in a very, very intimate way. That she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget. Yet I will not forget you, God says. Behold, I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. That is so rad. Your walls are continually before me. I know where you live. I see you. I've written you on the palms of my hands. God, let that be enough for us. Let that encourage us. Let that not just be enough for us so we can just sit back, chill, and let other people get it. May we labor knowing that we're loved. May we make mistakes knowing that we're loved. May we go for it knowing that we're loved. May we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness knowing that we're loved. God, I pray right now there's people in this room that have not submitted to you. You are not God to them. You're a good option. You're one option. You might even be the option, but they haven't chosen to submit their lives to you. May they do that this very second. Recognizing that you are God and they are not. And for all of us who do know you and follow you, may we be strong and courageous and may we be contagious. May we not put you off. May we hear you and believe you and love you. God, thank you for today. Thank you for all the people who are celebrating graduations. Thank you for all the people who are celebrating birthdays. Thank you for all the people who have so much going on in their mind, they don't know if they're ever going to celebrate again. May they rejoice that their names are written in heaven and may that be enough for them. God, I pray this in your perfect name. Amen.